Our lesson tonight is God's Word as a guide, taken basically from James 1, verses 18 through 25, which is the same general passage that I preached on this morning. And I couldn't figure out which of these two sermons to preach for in the morning, so I decided to preach them both. So you get a double whammy off of James 1 and 18 through 25. I'll read it quickly. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one is blessed in what he does. We need to be sure that we understand the powerful tool that we have when we pick up the Word of God, the powerful guidance that's there if we use it. Too many times, though, I'm convinced that people in the world particularly, but even us, we look at the Word of God and we read it, maybe even read it every day, but we don't think of it as the guide, as the one that's going to tell us what to do. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Can you hear the voice of experience coming out there? Jeremiah says, I know. I know the way of man is not in himself. He's saying, in effect, I've been there, done that, got the scars to prove it. I've tried to decide for myself what way is maybe better than your way, and I fell flat on my face. It's not in man to walk, to direct his own steps. We make too many mistakes. We turn down too many wrong paths. We stop short too many times of what we could do. It's just not in us. God didn't put it in us. He didn't intend to put it in us. He intended for us to need to turn to Him. And He has provided that. Romans 1 and verse 16 seems like Paul is saying, I understand, Lord. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. He's saying, I've got it. Jeremiah's right. It's not in us. It's in the Word of God. It's the power of God. That's the gospel of Christ. That's the message, he says, that's the power to salvation to everyone that believes. You see, God's Word is able to guide us to become a new creature. When we look around and look at ourselves, say, I don't like me. I don't like what I'm doing. I don't like the things that are happening in my life. What can I do about that? Well, James 1:18 says that He brought us forth by the Word of truth. That's the way in which He guides us to become a new creature. The first kind of first fruits of His creatures is the way James puts it. The first of the fruit is the sweetest, is the most enjoyable. We picked our first tomato here out of Sandy's garden. She gets all over me when I said out of our garden because I didn't do a whole lot in it. And that thing was really good. The difference between the taste of one from the garden and one from that was raised in a greenhouse and in the store is just immense. And I don't think you get that except out of the first one. Because after that, that's all you're eating. And that's what you get used to. And you know, they taste good, but it doesn't taste like that. First fruit. He says we can become a first fruit of His creature. Our conversion is through the power of the Word. In the fifth chapter of James, in verse number 20, he goes on to say, any man that turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul. what a powerful tool we have right here to convert folks. It is God's power. Not only though for us to become a new creature, but as what is of greater interest probably to everyone here is to guide us into the saving of our souls. We see, we still make those same mistakes. We, as he tells us in verse number 21, we need to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. The way that we get to the place and the position of being what God wants us to be is that we become that new creature that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse number 17, where he said we can become a new creature. How wonderful it is to think about it. We not only, though, are guided to becoming a new creature, guided to the saving of our souls, but God's Word is able to guide us so that we can see ourselves as we really are. And I don't know too many things that are harder than us honestly looking at ourselves. You know, I look at myself and I still see a 190-pound man staring back at me. A little bit more than that now. How honest are we, though? You know, I look and I say, well, you know, not that bad. I can have a couple extra pancakes. I can have a hot fudge sundae. I can... Of course, you all don't do those kind of things. We need to see the reality of who we really are. James 1 and verse 24 says we need to observe ourselves and not forget who we are. We need to see ourselves, and he's particularly talking about the reality of sin in our life. And only the Word of God can do that. It's the only way that we have an opportunity for God to save us is if we see ourselves as God sees us, because we'll never repent. Never repent. I remember years ago, right before Sandy and I got married, I tried to quit smoking. And I would quit and I'd go 4, 5, 6 days without smoking. And I'd get in a real stressful situation or things are piling up and I would think, one won't hurt. It'll help me to relax. And I'm right back into it again. I can really empathize with somebody who's an alcoholic or a drug addict. You can get hooked on that stuff and you lie to yourself. You don't see yourself. You don't see it as it honestly is. A sin in destroying your body. You don't see that. But if we can look through God's Word, because 1 Timothy 2 verses 3 and 4 says God desires all men to be saved. He desires all men to be saved. It doesn't matter how low we've sunk down into sin. It doesn't matter how far we've wandered away from Him. The reality is God desires to save us. And He has provided us with the tool. Jana bought me a real nice swing to put out on the patio in the back of the house. And Steve and I were putting it together, and you know, they are so kind when you buy one of those, they give you a complete set of tools, no extra tools needed. Oh my. Well, that's true, except their wrenches are about that thick, it's just pressed steel, and we couldn't get it to work. Couldn't get this thing, and so I said, well, let me go see if I can't find a socket. So I went and found a socket. If you saw my toolbox, you'd understand what I mean by finding a socket. It's all in a big pile in the bottom of a bucket. You just root through it until you find it. I found the socket, and then I couldn't find a handle. And then I found a handle, and it was rusted solid, wouldn't work. And then I had to go find another handle. But when we got the right tool, put that thing together, no time. No time at all. We've got the right tool here to correct the sin that's in our life. But we have to be honest enough to look at ourselves and to see that sin and to understand God desires to save us. That word desires used there is not a word of, you know, well, I don't care whether we do or not, but yeah, it would be nice. This is a desire, a longing for that to happen. And then he tells us when we get down to the 25th verse of this same chapter, if we want to be blessed, we're not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work. This one is blessed in what he does. We have security, we have direction, and we have purpose in life. There are so many people out there that are just going with the flow. Whatever everybody around them is doing is what they're doing. Whatever influences are in their life, that's what they become involved in. Rather than having a guidance, a direction, the security of knowing, I know who I am, I'm a child of God, I don't need to be influenced by that. I can say no thank you. Was it Nancy Reagan that started the policy, just say no? I'm not saying that worked real well in interdicting drugs, but she had the right idea. We need to just say no. And we can get the strength, we can get the guidance, we can get the security from God's Word. That's why Paul was able to say in Philippians 1 and verse number 21, for me to live is Christ. It's Christ. What do you suppose most of our neighbors would say? For me to live is to gain. For me to live is to get a new car, to get a new house, to go on a nice vacation, to get a new suit of clothes, to get a new stereo, to get a new big screen TV, to get. And the debt piles up and piles up and piles up and piles up. And pretty soon they come and haul all that away. And you foreclosed on the house and lost everything. Because you don't have a purpose in life. And that is to please God. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, Philippians 1 and verse number 21. We have the most powerful thing in the world. Paul tells us it's the dynamite. It's the power of God unto salvation, and that's right here. God's Word. You have it in your hands, you have it in your house, and you have the power. Do we use it? Do we follow it? Have you ever given somebody directions, encouragement to do something, and they just did the opposite? Can you imagine how frustrating that must be to God, to give us the Word of God, the guidance that's there for us, and to turn away and go do what we want to do? You think about what that does to you, and then think about it. You see, to be guided by God's Word is to be swift to hear. James 1 and verse 19. We need to be swift to hear. The story is told in the Old Testament of David saying that, oh, if somebody could give me a drink of water from Bethlehem's well. He's just talking to himself. You ever do that? Talk out loud to yourself? You think you're alone and you just say, oh, man, I would love to have a drink out of the water of Bethlehem's well. Three of his mighty men, they're called, heard that, risked their lives to go. He didn't ask them to go get him some water, and they brought him back a drink from Bethlehem's well. They were swift to hear. They wanted to do what it took to make their master happy. They wanted to do what it took to make their king happy. Are we swift to hear? Are we swift to hear God's Word? We're listening. You know, we sing a song one time every once in a while. I'm listening. I'm listening. Are we? Are we truly listening? Are we truly swift to hear? Well, to be guided by God's Word requires that we be swift to hear. And to be guided by God's Word means it has to be implanted in us. James 1 and verse number 21, receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul. That's using the same picture of the parable of the sower? Do you remember that parable? Where there were four different soils. One of them was the pathway that seed was scattered on it, and the birds came and took it before it ever got in the ground. And the next one was the rocky soil that was so shallow that the seed never got rooted. And then the good soil. I skipped one. The rocky soil. The one that had the great temptations and pulling us every different kind of way. And then the good soil, where it said it was planted deep. Is the Word of God deep in your life? Or is it something superficial? Is it something that's just kind of there? Yeah, I read it every day, but it just kind of hits my head and bounces off of it. Or is it really implanted, engrafted is the way James uses. It's the same picture of what you would do to a tree. I was listening to 610 yesterday afternoon, Ron in the garden. I don't know if you ever listened to that show. But he called in, he says, I've become interested in cloning plants. And he said, do you mean engrafting them? And he said, well, yeah, I guess that's another word for it. He wanted to know how to take a cutting of a tree and put it on another tree. And take a cutting and put it in a pot and grow it, and then you could have another. And he went through and explained to him. I thought, well, that's exactly what God's Word has to be. I have to kind of cut it out of here and plant it in here. And I have to think about it that way. Let it take root. Because, you know, if you just cut it and stick it in the ground, you don't water it, you don't feed it, what happens? It dies. If I take God's Word, put it in my mind, and then never think about it again, never meditate upon it, never read it again, never talk about it, guess what happens to it? It dies. We need to realize to be guided by God's Word is to have it engrafted into your mind. In verse number 22, he says that we need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, because then we deceive ourselves. So to be guided by God's Word is we have to just take it out of just the mental and we have to put it into the practical. We have to do as they talk about in the military, put boots on the ground. You have to get out on the street and do it. You have to do it in your life. We can't just have it as a thought. We have to have it as an action. We can't be hearers only if we're going to be guided by God's Word. And then we're told in 22 and 23 that we need to be a obeyer of God's Word. Not just a doer of something. We have to be doing what God's Word says if we're going to be guided by it. Get on the highway. You see the speed limit sign over there. That's a guide that the state government's put up of how fast you ought to be going in order to be safe for everybody else on the highway. Now, you may think, with my great skills and my great abilities and my fine car and my good tires, I can go faster than that and still be safe. But is everybody else around you safe? The government, in their great wisdom, has said no. 65 is as fast as it's safe on our highways. Are you guided by that if you don't obey it? Or are you flaunting it? Ignoring it? What are we doing with God's Word? Are we obeying it? Or are we ignoring it? That's a choice we all make. Now, sometimes you get driving along, you're talking, you're listening to your radio, listening to your iPod, whatever, and you look down and say, oh my, I'm going faster than I intended to go. I think we've all done that. And you immediately slow down to the proper speed. That's what happens when you sin. You look at it and say, oh, I did something I shouldn't have. I need to repent. I need to change. I need to come back to what I need to do. But you know, before you can ever get on that highway legally, you need to pass the driver's test. It's the same thing with Christianity. Before you can call yourself a Christian, before you can even begin to claim you're being guided by God's Word, you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Before you can even begin to think about, I want to follow Christ, you have to look at yourself and say, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And you need to turn from the sinful life that you're living to live a new life, one that's guided by God's Word, as we've talked about tonight. Before you can even get to the next stage, you have to be willing to stand up and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. There are no closet Christians. God just has not set up a procedure where that's possible. You either are or you're not. You either stand up and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, with your life, your actions, and your words, or you're not. You may be fooling yourself, but you're not. And then we need to be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins, to wash away those sins in total obedience to Christ. And then comes the fun part, where we have to go through the rest of our life trying to walk on that line, that narrow way, that we can be guided on that way. You know, it's very helpful when you're driving down the road to see a sign that says hole ahead, bump ahead, road out. We need to see those signs, and we need to change what we're doing accordingly. When we look at our life and we see the signs along a road, that's a sin. That's a sin. You need to change that. You need to add this. We need to change our direction. We need to be guided by God's Word if we want to be blessed in what He's doing. If tonight you look at yourself and say, I haven't been very blessed lately. I haven't been very happy lately. I haven't been very pleased with myself. And I know God's not pleased with me. You need to make a change. You need to do it right now, tonight, while we stand and while we sing.